Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, 24th of September. And we are going to do our open line at this very moment. So it's a chance for you to call in with suggestions of terrific guests you'd like to have on the air. We're right in the thick of politics, which, as you know, we've been covering for a long time now. Maybe there's some angle that we haven't taken, and you'd like to hear that on the air. Rhonda's working hard to get presidential candidates on, and we're doing this major forum, too, at Marquette University coming up later in October that we'd like to invite you to so we have a chance to meet you and you can meet us. It's a live remote at Marquette University, and we are going to have students there, and the public is invited. It's on Halloween, October 31st. Halloween. It is Halloween? Rhonda's going through it to find out for sure when it is. But we would like to have you there, and we're going to have a panel of people from the Republican side and the Democratic side. We'll have political analysts. We'd love to have representatives from the Obama and McCain campaigns. It is not Halloween. It's the 30th. Halloween is the 31st. I'm sorry. And so it's that Thursday, the 30th of October. It should be a great deal of fun. We'll have a lot of Marquette students there, and you're invited. It's free. You just have to call and sign up. You can call our lines here at 227-2040. Ask for Katie Madsen, and she'll be able to get you signed up. We had thought about, just because when we went to Dubuque, that chocolate cake idea was just so good, and people brought treats. And if you wanted to, we wouldn't object. So if you wanted to bring a treat, and we'll bring treats too, so we can talk more politics after. It'll be right before the election. It's going to be a very exciting time. So plan on joining us for a live broadcast, those of you who love politics. We'd love to see you. Right now, it's an open line for whatever you'd like to have on the air between the hours of 9 and 11. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Rhonda Fanning, the producer of this show, is answering phone calls today, so she'll chat with you for a moment, and then we'll get you on the air with your suggestions right away, starting with Sarah from Twin Lakes. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks. You know, I was watching the Republican convention and the Democrat convention and noticed that at the Democrat convention, women were wearing pants, suits, or dresses or skirts. And at the Republican convention, all I saw were women wearing skirts, which got me thinking, what about talk about the fashion of politics? What they wear and who they wear in front of, it would dictate maybe what the message they're trying to get across. And I thought maybe a sociologist or someone who has maybe done fashion or studied fashion with that would be an interesting little twist on the political take there.
I like that idea. It's something different. Why is it pantsuits for Hillary and dresses or suits for Sarah Palin? When do you take your ties off? When do you wear? When do you roll up your sleeves, et cetera? I like that idea. And I'm sure that it is done very, very carefully, with a great deal of thought, don't you think? What color you're going to wear, what kind of shoes you're going to wear, how you do your hair, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. I think everything is put into who they're trying to attract and who they're talking to at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it absolutely fascinating that they would, you know, put that much effort into colors and into what they wear and what they look like when they go in front of
right.
People to get their vote out. So I thought it'd just be really interesting to have someone talk about it.
I was wondering at the Republican convention why everybody was wearing ties. It seems to me as though it was probably kind of hot, a lot of people in the room, but there was a reason everybody was wearing ties. It was what you wore, right? What you wore.
Right, and all the women in the audience were dressed very nicely, and some of them had really nice necklaces or pearls on, and you didn't see that. At the Democratic convention, there were people in pants and in T-shirts, and it was a completely different, almost attitude brought across of what they wore and how they presented themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right, the fashion of politics. I like that. Something different. Thank you, Sarah. You got a creative mind.
Well, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Nick from Racine. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, hi. I was kind of hoping that we could maybe get Ron Paul on the air to talk about the economy, because for the past, 5, 10 years, he's been talking about exactly what's happening right now. And everybody's running around saying that nobody could see this coming, nobody could see this coming, but, I mean, there's a guy right there who's been running around saying it's on the way, and then sure enough, it's happened.
Okay. Yeah, we could try and get him on.
Fine. That'd be great.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks,
Nick.
Goodbye.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Carrie is next from West Bend. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to listen to a program on the biological effects of technology like WiMAX, Wi-Fi, which uses microwave radiation to transmit its information. I've been doing a lot of reading, and these frequencies seem to be having effects on our brains and our bodies.
Okay. Do you know somebody who's an expert in that, Carrie? Because I sure don't.
There's a report on the internet. It's at www.bioinitiative.org/report. And there's a list of scientists on there who've contributed their studies. So maybe one of the scientists on there could get on the program to talk and answer calls.
Why did you get worried about this?
Last summer, I started feeling ill, and I traced it to wireless routers in a neighborhood that I live in. And so I'm electrical sensitive, or I have sensitivity to it, and I find myself getting headaches, mostly headaches and insomnia when there's a lot of microwave radiation around, like in the form of phones and these wireless routers. So that's how I came to study about it.
Have you been to a doctor?
Mm-hmm, I have, and he couldn't find anything wrong. So when I find that I'm in the, I can check if I'm in the presence of these things because, you know, you can see on your laptop, you know, there's wireless networks in the area, or people have deck phones, like you can verify that that's what's going on. And when I get away from those things, I can tell a difference. I feel much better.
Okay. We'll look into it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie. Bye. We go to Kurt next from Springbrook. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend that you have on Daniel Quinn, the author of Ishmael. Over the years, I've recommended him a couple of times to you, and he hasn't really come out with anything new lately. But Ishmael is a classic. I mean, it almost has 900 reviews on Amazon, and the following of it is still, there's energy behind it. And I just feel like he hasn't been on WPR yet, as far as I know. And not having Daniel Quinn on there would be almost like not having George Orwell on there while he was alive. I mean, Quinn's getting up into his 70s now. And I think he still has a lot of things to teach us about sustainability, especially. It'd be great to hear him on WPR.
Okay. Well, Rhonda tells me she's a fan of his, too, so
cool.
We'll let Rhonda get on the case.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Pauline is next from Price County. Hi, Pauline.
Hi. I was trying to quick find the website where I saw it this morning, but that Congress was going to vote either way for banning horse slaughter and using the horse meat, and I know they closed down all the slaughter plants in the United States, and now the horse market is down to give away and shooting your horses because there's no market, and horses are just suffering because of it.
Boy, I'm not familiar with this issue at all. I'm sorry. Can you send me something on it?
Oh, sure, I will. I will. I was just trying to hurry up and find the web because it was right on MSN this morning, right in the headlines.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't make a hill of beans to most people, but, I mean, you know, it used to be that the cheapest farm animal you could buy was a goat. Well, now it's a horse because they're literally, if they don't get their commission, they just take them out and hit them in the head, and, you know, to get rid of them. And they're even making people now pay, you know, like so much money down on a thin horse or whatever. So if they don't get their market price, that they have to pay to dispose of it.
Where was this news? I don't know how I've missed it. Where is it?
It's on MSN, right on the headlines, you know, like in the little capture boxes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to hurry up and find it.
We can find it.
Okay. It was kind of like right in the center of the page, because I know it was on, I went and looked it up, and then you can vote on it, and but, I mean, other markets, I mean, like in France, what they're done, they're shipped to Canada or Mexico, and from there they're processed and sent overseas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pauline.
You know, where you can actually look on some of the websites and watch the horses being slaughtered.
Ew.
You know, yeah. I know, it just turns my stomach, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and the rescue groups are so full that they just can't handle anymore, even that they want to. But
right.
And there was a woman this winter that gave away 42 of her horses. And, I mean, because they just could not afford to feed them. One had 80 horses shot, or put down, I can't say they were shot, put down because she couldn't afford to feed them. And, you know, everybody is just loaded, you know. I mean, there just is no market at all because of it.
Okay, we'll look into this.
Okay,
thanks, Pauline.
Thanks a lot. And thanks because of the horses, too.
Okay, thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Let's go to Jeff from Winneconne. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Joy Cardine suggested that reporters would have a band or a wrist color on their wrist, saying that if they were Republican or if they were Democrat. And what I would like to have a show on is... what are these reporters? They need to tell us who they are and who they represent before they start their shows.
Because you think they can't do a fair job with somebody who doesn't share the same opinion, or?
No. What I'm saying is that we need to know who they represent, so there's no fraud going on.
They don't represent anything. They obviously people, although there are some journalists, that could be worth a show, who have decided not to, we were talking about that with Bob Schieffer a couple weeks ago, some journalists who have decided not to vote because they don't want to appear to be partisan, and his idea was that's a lot of hooey, I love to vote, voting's a wonderful thing,
right.
I want to be able to vote.
Yeah.
But we could look at that issue as to whether or not there's a bias in one way or the other, and whether or not that bias shows in reports that are done.
Yeah, I just need to know who these people represent. I kind of know who you represent, and I kind of know who Joy. And you can look at Ben Marins, and you can figure that out. And you can look at Tom Ashbrook and figure that out as well.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John from Madison. Hi, John.
Hello. I have a book that I think would be real interesting to have the authors go into what's in it. It's called Thinker, Faker, Spinner, Spy. It's by William Dynan and David Miller. And it's a European perspective of the PR industry, the way that they spin the media, spin the politicians, affect public perception of all their problems. And what's interesting about this particular book is a set of essays by a lot of academics. Some are well-written, some aren't, but it gives a well-rounded viewpoint of the total effect of the propaganda that the public relations industry employed by the corporate sector in Europe exerts on their political apparatus, and it's directly applicable to what goes on in the United States. The same stuff, the same use of front groups, lobbying, going after, and determining who's an activist and how to subvert them or co-opt them. It's a fascinating book. The nice thing about this is these are two English professors, and it just gives a different spin on the idea of spin. It's not an American perspective, but it's a European perspective. The other thing I would like to hear covered is with this big bailout that's in the works, and hopefully it's not going to be the one that's currently proposed. The conservative faction in this country is spinning this as dangerous trend towards socialism. And there's a big, big abyss in the public mind as to the differentiation between a socialist country and institutions or industries that are socialized, because all Western Europe, the United States, Japan, Russia, every country in the world has socialist and capitalist elements to it. But they want to confuse the public as to what a socialist state is compared to the social ownership of a particular industry, like public education or the military in our country or the post office, et cetera, et cetera. So if you could have somebody on that would explain the difference between socialism and social ownership of particular industries, I think it would be very interesting.
All right. What was the name of that book that you initially said? I didn't get it.
Thinker, Faker, Spinner, Spy
Thinker, Faker, Spinner, Spy.
It's a corporate PR and its assault on democracy. William Dynan and David Miller, they're professors of sociology over in England.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jen from Stevens Point. Hi. Hello, Jen.
Hello?
Hi, Jen.
Oh, my name is Ken.
Oh, your name is Ken. Well, Ken,
yes.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm a truck driver, and I'm through most of the country every week. And I happened to be driving through Indiana one night, and I listened to a lot of public radio, and I heard this talk show host explaining that he knew somebody or that he had confirmed a sighting in outer space. This man in California, I guess every night he sets his telescope up, and he's got a certain spot, I guess, out in outer space that he looks at. And while he's peering through his telescope, he can actually see alien battles between spaceships. I mean, if there's battles in outer space, and this has been confirmed by the talk show host. And I would like to know who this man is. I'm sorry I can't remember his name. It's been a while ago. But I would like to know if this actually does exist, and if there is alien battles or wars in outer space. I think people should know this.
I must say I've never heard of such a thing. Who's the?
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, you know, things are weird, but who's the talk show host?
Oh, you know, it's been about a month and a half, and you know, I let it go in one ear and out the other, you know, because I didn't really think it was a big deal. But I haven't been able to get my computer up since then, and but I would like to know who it is myself and who the talk show host is, so that I can do some more research into this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You don't think he's just trying to get ratings?
No, he was confirmed. It was confirmed. I believe there is a battle going on in outer space somewhere. He was adamant about it.
Huh. Well, I would prefer to think it's not a battle and that all those peaceful people are coming down to visit us soon to guide us to a more peaceful planet. What do you think, Jen? No. I don't think you're crazy. I think that some of those things are easy to believe. I'm not sure if I would take it on the word of a talk show host, right?
Yeah.
Who are we? We're just talk show hosts. All right. But I'd be interested. Send me more stuff and we'll try and track this guy down.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, bye. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to pause. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you, well, no, we're just doing call-ins because it's our September open line. You know, I've thought about that for years. I wish somebody from someplace else, and the more that you hear about it, they got all these possible universes, and you go into a black hole and it might be into another universe. I find all of that absolutely fascinating, and I've always hoped in my lifetime that some gentle creature would grace our planet from some other place and give us a lot of wisdom. That would be pretty exciting. 800-486-8655. We'll return in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our September open line, and we're getting your suggestions for programs. 800-486-8655 is the number. 800-486-8655. And we go to Kurt from Oxford. Hi, Kurt.
How do you do?
How formal you are. How do you do, Kurt?
Yes, recently I read a book by Scott M. Faulkner, F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R, and he was the first chief administration officer. I think they was appointed by Newt Gingrich. I don't remember the new contract or the contract with America they had.
Mm-hmm.
And his job was to go in and clean up, I believe it was the Congress. And so he assembled a staff. They did all the research. I'm sure you remember the mailroom scandal and all that. And he started changing how they did business, and he ran into all kinds of flack from incumbents, and finally his whole operation was derailed. And he resigned in disgust and left the country, and he finally wrote a book about it, and I think he'd be a great guest. The name of the book is Naked Emperors, The Failure of the Republican Revolution.
Naked Emperors, Failure of the Republican Revolution. Okay. We got it down.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
You bet.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Jack from Green Bay. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I just picked up a wonderful book called The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. And I thought with Halloween and October coming up and with gas prices the way they are, it would be great to hear one of the authors talk about some places in Wisconsin that we can visit.
Wouldn't you get scared?
Well, I've been to some of these. I took my family, my wife and our children, went and took a family vacation to the Northwoods and stopped at some of these haunted locations.
Ooh.
And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
What are some of the locations?
Well, we stopped up at Little Bohemia, which is where Dillinger had that shootout in the Northwoods.
Oh, yeah.
And people say his ghost is still roaming there. And it's just a beautiful drive up there. And we also were in Hayward and Winter. I mean, all these northern Wisconsin towns that I didn't know had these haunted places. And it was a good family vacation and a lot cheaper than Disney World.
So are you going to go again this year?
Yeah, we have a trip down in your neck of the woods in the Madison area coming up in this fall. So getting into the Halloween spirit.
All right. We may do that. I don't
Thank
know. I don't
you.
Like to get scared, but we may do that.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Jack. Thanks. Let's go to Jean from Green Bay. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I'm calling about having on Dmitry Orlov, O-R-L-O-V. His blog is called The Orlov Report. And he's a pretty interesting guy. I've heard him on community radio a couple times, especially in California. And he makes a comparison. I believe he's from the Soviet Union originally himself, between the collapse of the Soviet Union and the collapse of the U.S., and feels that we're that the Soviet Union went through five stages and we're going through the same five stages now. And he's pretty scientific about it, pretty interesting.
Okay, and you find him on a blog? He does a blog? Or
his blog is called the Club Orlov, O-R-L-O-V.
I'm sorry, the Club Orlov, O-R-L-O-V.
Yeah, and he also writes for a lot of the energy I think originally he's a chemical engineer.
Okay.
And so he's in a lot of the alternative energy literature as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
Al is next from Bayview. Hi, Al.
Yeah, good morning, Kathleen. With the election coming up, I think a lot of people are still thinking back to 2000 and 2004 and wondering, you know, how legit were the results and how much tampering went on. There's a new movie out called The Uncounted that was recommended to me, and you can Google it on the web, and there's a lot of listings for it. I would be interested in having somebody who's connected with that movie, maybe who made it, be on to discuss what's in the movie and what the chances are that we're going to have a verifiable, really legitimate election this time.
Okay. I know people are concerned about that.
Yep.
Be a good show for us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Steve is next from Delafield. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I've got a suggestion for you.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleman's name is Dr. Gary Habermas, and he's a PhD in philosophy. And he's done some work in the area of near-death experiences, and I think the whole phenomenon carries a common interest among many people. But I think many of the accounts of near-death experiences fall short, at least in my mind anyhow, because you're pretty much subjected to the individual's personal experience, and whether it's true for everybody, it's kind of hard to determine. But he has investigated for the last 20 years near-death experiences that have cooperative information or data where, you know, like a person has experienced death in an operating room and comes back and is able to give an account of what happened, you know, in an apartment three blocks away from where the person was the whole time. And I think for skeptical people like myself, that it's very interesting information that kind of points to life after this life. So he's been on a lot of different. He's been on the BBC radio before, and he's done a lot of work just letting people see that near-death experiences that we commonly hear of, you know, where you know, a person sees Aunt Betsy waving them across the river or something like that, or sees the light as, you know, only kind of one variety, but there are others where people actually come back and say, you know, I can tell you what was going on, you know, in the waiting room, or I can tell you what was going on in, you know, in my parents' house, you know, during the 15-minute period that I experienced, you know, I was clinically dead. So I think that might be interesting for your listeners to hear.
Okay. And what's his name?
His name is Dr. Gary Habermas. It's spelled H-A-B-E-R-M-A-S. He has a Ph.D. in philosophy from Michigan State, and I've also met him personally. He's a very interesting man.
Okay. I think people should be careful about what they say in the operating room. You know, it's just somehow they think that you're not there, and they're letting you know your chances of survival and what's going on with
right.
you and sounding alarming. I'm thinking, wait a second, I don't need to hear this. I'm still conscious.
That's right. That does occur as well.
Yeah,
sure.
It does. All right. Well, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Sure. Thanks. You Thanks
bet.
For the call.
Bye.
We go next to Claire from Waukesha. Hi, Claire.
Hi. I believe you may have done a show on this last year. I would like to hear some more about Waldorf education. We took water there last year. We don't have Morky and Waukesha. And we tried not to get attached, but we did. We took her to public school for about 6 days this year and went right back to Waldorf. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I think other people should know that there are other options out there besides public school.
Okay. All righty.
That's it.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. Diana is next. Hi, Diana.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. I live in Pulver, and we're within the Stevens Point Area Public School District.
Mm-hmm.
And at our board meeting Wednesday night, our environmental ed coordinator gave an interesting presentation. We have a school forest called the Boston School Forest. It's a model within the state. And our coordinator is very dynamic, and she has begun a program called Leave No Family Inside. And in their environmental ed world, there is a phrase they're coining now called nature deficit disorder. And her programming, which is gaining some state and probably national attention, I think would be very interesting. I know you've had programs in the past on kids and families inside too much. So her focus is not just on getting kids active, but the family as a unit becoming active. Our forest is also the only one that has expanded beyond K-12 to also include 4-year-old kindergartners. She's just doing some interesting, exciting things. Her name is Karen Dostal, D-O-S-T-A-L.
Wait a second. Karen, D-O-S?
T-A-L.
Okay.
You could reach her through our website, www.wisp.k12.wi.us. And,
okay.
You know, I'm sure she could speak to any or all of the things I've mentioned and what else goes on at our
great.
Forest
and
national state trends. So.
K-12 is all together? There's no dash there? Or?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good. That sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks
Bye-bye.
Very much for the call. Claire from Germantown, hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. I'm glad to be on. If you notice, so many churches are called Peter Paul, okay? Catholic Church, Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church are all based on Peter. But when Paul went on the road to Damascus and was struck down, and God said, you've got to be the one to give it to the Gentiles. And a nun once wrote a book, she said, The History of God. The first Christian was Paul. So if you could get a speaker on this subject, actually the epistles of Paul are for us today, the Gentiles. And so that's my comment. Thank you.
All right, Claire, thanks for the call. Eddie from Broadhead, hi. Hi, Eddie? Edie?
Oh, yeah, from
okay.
Broadhead.
Sorry, hi, Edie.
Hi. Yeah, with so many serious problems and so much going on in the world, what happened to the comedy shows?
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. I've just been through a really bad year, to tell you the truth, and there wasn't much comedy in my life. And we just haven't done one. What can I say? We need to get on with those again. They were wonderful to put together, and We just sat in here and laughed and laughed and laughed. So should I make you a promise of when we'll have another one?
Oh, that would be great.
When should we promise?
Right. We need something to laugh at.
I know. You're right. And they were so much fun to put together. We met so many comedians. We dug up Bob Elliott and he sent us a letter, and he was fabulous to listen to. We just had so much fun with those. All right. We got to get through the elections.
Yeah, right.
So we got to do that. We won't have time before that. I think early December. Can you wait that long?
Okay, I'll keep listening.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We haven't forgotten. It's just that we're into this daily other stuff. So, Elizabeth from Boscobel. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi.
There is going to be an international baby-wearing conference in Chicago sometime in October, and I think it might be interesting if you guys did a story relating to baby-wearing.
I'm sorry, what do you mean? Baby wearing? What babies wear?
No, it's actually it's an attachment parenting practice where parents attach their baby to themselves either with slings or wraps, different types of carriers, and carry the babies around with them while they're doing their activities during the day.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to send us some more information on that, I was not very aware of it. So
okay, I can do that. I can probably even get some information about the conference that's coming up.
All right, great.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Bye.
We're doing an open line for the month of September, welcoming your phone calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Rhonda Fanning is our producer, and she's answering phone calls here today as well as we listen to your suggestions of what we ought to have on the air between the hours of 9 and 11. We've been all over the place today, all over the place. So more phone calls coming up momentarily. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, we go back to your phone calls. Let's go to Steele from Nina next. Hi, Steele.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, maybe one day get on someone from Sea Shepherd, that's the Environmental Conservation Society, and they were down in the southern seas here last winter chasing the Japanese sailing ships for hunting the whales, and also Greenpeace was down there at the time, and it was interesting because Greenpeace wouldn't share the coordinates with a Sea Shepherd, and this Captain Watson was one of the founding members of Greenpeace, but he's a little more hands-on, and they'll throw stink bombs on the Japanese ships, and so if you go to seashepherd.org and then just go down to the contacts, they have an area where the media can, you know, ask for interviews, and I was reading about the seals once in Canada, and one country burned like 10,000 pelts of seals so they could keep the market open for more. So it might be kind of interesting to maybe see the philosophy of more of a hands-on throwing stink bombs at other boats than what Greenpeace philosophy is on monitoring and harassing people that are kind of stepping beyond the lines.
Okay.
Taking things from Mother Earth.
We'll look into it, Steele. Thank you.
Yep, sure.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Lynn from Racine is next. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi there.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Oh, great. Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Thank
how
you
are
for
you?
Taking my call.
Sure.
I've been wanting to ask this, you know, not only to radio, but also, you know, in the television media. We've seen some talks, you know, very genteel, very, you know, just very general and tepid talks about race. And I would like a forum where non-African-Americans, none on the panel, just all non-African-Americans, the opportunity to call in and say why they can't vote for an African-American. I mean, frank, real conversation about race. What is it? Because you know what? In the end, I think it's what's killing us. I mean, I think race even goes all the way to our stock market. I mean, you look at those that are in charge, and I'm a political junkie. I watch them all. And, you know, you see a few African-Americans here and there. But if man can't be kind to humankind, how can they run a democracy, this world, if we are no kinder than humans than we are to money? I mean, there is a relationship there.
You know, I have mixed feelings about this. I think that we've done a lot of shows on this particular issue. I wonder about the efficacy of having such discussions before an election. I'm not sure what it does, if it gets people to understand race better in a single talk show, or if it's such a long history here that it takes us a long time to get to the roots of it. But there's something, and I've been trying to figure out why I respond to this. This Newsweek poll that shows evidently that one-third of Democrats, white Democrats, wouldn't vote for an African-American. There's something about this kind of poll coming out before the election that I find offensive. I don't understand why everybody's talking about it all the time. What good does it do us at this point? Are all of a sudden people going to say, oh, yes, I was wrong to consider race in this? I'm unsettled by all of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm unsettled.
I do understand that. But I think that the only way that we're ever going to solve this or even get close to solving it is that we do have to discuss it, and not where we have these professionals, the Jesse Jacksons and the others sitting on the panel. I mean, just frank, real people to talk about what we can do, what we can do as mankind, not as a race, but just as mankind to get past this. And I think, you know, Barack Obama, he had to do what he had to do by trying not to draw on it and not make it an issue. But it is there. I mean, when you watch the television shows and they ask, you'll hear Chris Matthews begging, why aren't these numbers closer? Why aren't Democrats doing better? They've got all the right reasons. They've got all the reasons behind them. And you're sitting there as an African-American, and we say, because it's race. It is race. It is clearly, clearly race.
Is it clearly race?
I think so.
Do you think so?
I really do.
Yeah,
I tell you privately, African-Americans that, and I'm talking middle-class, educated African-Americans, when we get together, this is what we talk about. We quietly talk about this all the time. It is on our minds when we wake up. It is on our minds when we go to work. You question. Just ask. And just ask someone. Just talk to anyone you see that may be not white and just ask them what's their concern right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with us all the time. Whether it's, you know, and so many of us are, I mean, resolved to the fact that he may not win and probably won't win. But what is that going to do to our morale? I mean, I think that's what America has to ask. What is it going to do to those African Americans that make up a big part of this country? How are we going to feel? We're going to feel so devalued, so not worthy, and we walk around with it. I'm telling you, I am an educated black woman, and I take it with me to work. I take it everywhere I go. I take my race with me. When I walk into I'm sitting outside of Bed Bath & Beyond. When I walk in, I'm black. I take it with me, and I want someone, please, I just want whites to engage us in conversation of why you don't like us. Why? That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
But, you know, the other thing, Lynn, is that I don't know how much you believe in polls, but the numbers are showing that he could win this race. I mean, there's a pretty good chance that he will. Then what do you think?
Then I'll say there's hope. There's hope. And you know what? That's what gets me through my days. That's what gets a lot of people like me. There is hope and faith. And we secretly email each other and we say, have faith and pray. And that's what makes us get through it.
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn, for the call. You know, you can help me out with this issue because Rhonda and I have talked about this in the office. I know the issue is there. I don't know the responsible way to deal with it on the radio. I don't think we should have a bunch of racists calling in and say, I can't vote for a black man for whatever reason. I don't know if we had to have half black, half white panel talk about these issues. I just don't know. So if you have suggestions of how to handle this issue, or if indeed we should even handle it, which I've been thinking maybe we just shouldn't at this point, feel free to send us emails and we can pour through this. Okay. Oh, I forgot to give you our email addresses, too. Rhonda's is fanning@wpr.org, fanning@wpr.org, and mine is dunk@wpr.org, dunk@wpr.org. This is an open line for the month of September. We go to Dave from Milwaukee. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. I guess what I want to talk about is white-collar crime, because I go back to the savings and loan scam, Enron, and there's just the one thing after another, you know, and it doesn't seem these fat cats are being held accountable. You know, everyone else goes to jail, they don't, and we're going to bail them out again, and there's no consequences for their actions. It just kind of drives me crazy.
All right, Dave. We'll certainly be doing many more shows on this topic and related topics. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate your call. Alex from Appleton. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good.
I was wondering, it would make sense both before and after the election to talk about this. I've noticed in my travels to other countries, particularly Canada, that the general population in other countries seems to have a better grip on what's going on in our country.
Mm.
And I wonder what it is about our society or their society or the education differences that causes that. And I was always fascinated to go to Toronto and talk to people about my own country and learn things that I didn't know that I think I should. And even if they're not necessarily always correct or they don't know everything about us, their interest level is so much higher than the average American I see.
I'd like to know about that, too. What's the root of that? Because I think you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're ashamed at the level of discourse in America because it's so shallow.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a youngin. I turned 25 this week. And I've just in the last couple of years really started to get interested in politics. And that's wrong. I think I should have been interested since I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning so much from so many different people and getting all the different resources that we don't seem to have in our own country that you can get from media anywhere else.
All right, Alex. It's good. We'll fashion a show around that. It's a good idea.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich is next from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. If you could get Marguerite Oosteveen from Salon.com, she wrote a very funny piece today about wrote letters to the editor for the McCain campaign. It really shows how entangled the politics are in this country, where people are more or less hired to write letters, and then the letters, if they sound right, are forwarded to people in various locales, to local newspapers, and all they have to do is sign them. And, it's a very funny piece if it weren't so sad in a way. It's an industry. Getting elected is an industry. And I'd like you to talk to her about what she wrote here.
Okay. We'll look it up, Rich.
Because she says the whole point is to write an articulate stream of expression of support, and then just to hand off this articulate stream of support to people who will put their names on it. And it just bothers me that that's how it's done, that people simply sign their name to a document that's prepared for them. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I think that's just laziness. So.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks so much for the call. Vern from Appleton, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right, Vern,
Very
how are
good.
You?
Say, I would like to hear personalities of Wisconsin Public Radio interviewed. For instance, I'd like to know, you know, nothing personal, you understand, but like Jim Fleming and Larry Mueller and how they got their start and where they got their start and you, Kathleen. And I thought that might be kind of interesting.
Do you really think so?
Yes, I do. I don't know if there would be anybody else would, but I would find them.
All right.
And like I said, I don't mean anything personal, but I have been a listener of Wisconsin Public Radio for about maybe 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's some people there that been there longer than I have, you know. Oh, Jean Fraca, too. I think she's very fascinating, interesting. So I just thought that might be something I'd throw out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Have
sure.
a good day.
And you as well. Jerry is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, Kathleen? Okay, I'd like to hear about the pyramids underwater in Rock Lake, all these little mysteries around the state, like even the possibility that King Solomon Mines might have been up in Lake Superior at one time. Stuff like that. That's what I like to hear, the mysteries around.
All right. Have you just read a book on it, or...?
Oh, no, there are. It's there. It's been there. They've actually found pyramids underwater in Rock Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Right there before Madison.
Before what?
Madison.
Uh-huh.
Just east of Madison there. Yeah. That's about all. You have a nice day.
Thanks, Jerry. You too. Bye. Boyd from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Two guests. Have you ever had on Bart Ehrman? He had a book called Misquoting Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting guy. I'd like to know more about his views and his experience. I guess he was one time a former head writer or something like that for various fundamentalist groups. And then the other person, if you can, would you ever try to get Elizabeth Edwards back on your show? I always enjoyed when you had her on.
Yeah, she's a marvelous interview. I'm not sure she's talking to anybody right now.
Sure,
and,
I understand.
We could try, but I'm sure it's an extremely difficult time in her life, and
That's
a time when you don't want to invade privacy, right?
Of course,
yeah.
Okay, that's pretty much all. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call, Boyd. Jean is next from Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, you?
Good. I'm reading a fascinating biography of Melvin Laird called Honor. And I think it'd be interesting to see his perspective on our race this year. The election race, I mean.
Okay.
I got the book from my dad, and I'm finding out a lot of the Republican perspective that kind of drives a lot of what their current thinking is. He was a fascinating man. I don't know if he's doing interviews at all or promoting his book.
All right. We will check into that.
And just my wondering is, does he like the direction that we've been going in the last 8 years? What does he think about that? Because it's got to change.
Thank you, Jean, for your call.
Thanks. Okay.
Jennifer is next from Manitowoc.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Kathleen. I love your show.
Thank you.
My suggestion for you is Rhonda Britton. She is a fearless living personal coach, and she has actually written a few books. One is called Fearless Living, and another one is Fearless Loving. And she actually has a whole network of personal coaches out there that help people out tremendously.
And what do you mean when you say fearless living? What is it?
Well, that's the name of her job coaching, or her personal coaching program.
Uh-huh.
And she does a lot of, I know in Chicago a couple years ago, or maybe even last year, she did a big seminar, and people came, and they were able to get a lot of help with personal issues. And she was also on NBC a program called Starting Over. I don't know if you're aware of that either. But anyway, she just does a lot of wonderful things, and a lot of people are catching on to the personal coaching, and it's helping a lot of people out.
Okay.
All
thanks.
Right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We go to Ed from Wausau. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Kathleen. I don't know, Naomi Klein, the author of The Shock Doctrine?
Yeah.
She would be a good guest. I've heard her talk about how it's affecting us right now, especially with Wall Street.
Okay. I read something about her. Newsweek this week? Or where did I read some? You read so much stuff and you can't forget. You can't remember where the heck it came from, Ed.
That's overload, shock doctrine.
I have overload most days. It's overload. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks very much for the call. And let's go to, we have time for one more call. Pat from Eau Claire. Hi, Pat.
I'd like to hear what NASA is planning in the future and what they're doing now.
Okay.
And then I'd also like to, the Haunted Wisconsin idea and the near-death experience sounded really interesting.
You like both of those, huh?
Yeah, and the Lynn that called in about racism sounded interesting, too.
And how do you think we should do that?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
But, I mean, she sounded really passionate about it, and I like the sound of her, and I agree with her. I think the discussion is important.
Right. Maybe she can get a hold of me, and she could be a guest.
I really thought that she sounded guest-worthy.
Uh-huh. I'm with you. Guest-worthy. I like that. We think you're guest-worthy. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Bye.
Bye. We're out of time. If you'd like to send emails, send them to Fanning, FANNING, at WPR.org. Just do a copy to Dunn, DUNNK, at WPR.org. And we always like to hear from you. Thanks. We have some interesting, kind of strange, some of them, but guest-worthy considerations from many of you today, so thanks for all of your calls. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We'll be with you again tomorrow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.